think we have some people away today, not here, but you're here. We're glad for that. And our starting point class gets underway, so we're glad for that. So this morning, I want to do kind of a reminder of last week's lesson. It's not so much deeper in Luke's gospel, but it does have to do with what I preached last Sunday morning. If you remember, last Sunday morning, I preached a message on forgiveness. And thank you, Jim. Appreciate you remembering. And someone once said, I heard this at a pastor's meeting one time, if you ever want to really be humbled, sometimes if you're standing at the door when people are leaving, and someone comes up to you and they say, Pastor, that was a really good message, then ask them what you preached on, and you and you hope they remember it on the way out the door. Anyhow, we preached out of Luke's gospel last week, Luke chapter 23, verses 34 through 38. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I want to just give you this very simple Sunday school lesson as a reminder of that. And take your Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through verse 25 is what we're going to read. Or 32, excuse me, 17 through 32. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 17. Now, before we get started, if you weren't here on Wednesday night, one of the visitors that's here today, the woman that's sitting here, her name is Erica. Please make her feel welcome. And I appreciate on this past Wednesday, several of you really did, went right up to her and welcomed her, and then some sat with her. We met her on bus visitation, actually, just knocked on her door, and she just showed up on Wednesday morning and wanted to speak with me, and just felt that the Lord, she's born again, she accepted Christ as her Savior years ago, but has gotten away from the Lord, and she just felt that God had sent us to speak to her about getting right with him again. And so she came Wednesday morning. I was actually dealing with the carpet people downstairs, and I sat and I talked with her for a little while, invited her to come back Wednesday night, which she did, and then she's here today. But anyhow, make her feel welcome, and that's so important. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 through verse 32. Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless the Sunday school hour this morning. Speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd be with each of the other classes as well, from young up through the old, and that you would just draw people to a closer relationship with you. And again, Lord, perhaps there's someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior. We pray for the salvation of their soul, that you'd bring that conviction, that reality, their understanding of their need of Christ, and that this would be the day that they'd become a child of God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to give you this lesson on forgiveness. You know, I think sometimes we forget just how important that forgiveness is. I really believe it's very essential to the type of Christianity, the type of Christian walk we're going to have. And notice some things. Look at verse 17. I read this. It says here, "This I say, therefore, and do testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." So you notice what is Paul doing here as he writes to the Ephesians. He's reminding them that as believers, there's a godly way, a spiritual way to walk, and there's an ungodly way to walk. Or Ethan's been dealing a lot with our carnality. And even as a believer, you can walk very carnally. And Paul's challenging them, the believers here in Ephesus. Look at verse 20. He says, "But you have not so learned Christ." And then he says in verse number 21, "If so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." So he reminds them, what did the Bible teach? What does the Lord teach? The Lord reminds us, not only in Ephesians, but all throughout the Scriptures, of our past practices and the present expectations. It's all part of who we are as believers. And he brings it here, this chapter, he brings it all to a conclusion near the end of the chapter with the principle of forgiveness. He hits a lot of issues here. He talks in verses 22 and 24 about putting off and putting on. He talks about anger. He talks about, verse 27, for instance, being careful that you don't give place to the devil. He talks about being industrious in verse 28, and then being not only industrious but generous. In verse 29, he talks about the things that come out of our mouth. Make sure that it's pleasing unto the Lord. It builds people up. We're going to talk about verse 30, grieving the Holy Spirit. And then, like I said, he deals with this issue in verse 31 of the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor and evil speaking. He tells us to put it away, and then because if you can't put that away, it's going to be a very difficult time. You're going to have a difficult time forgiving people. Okay? So let's look at this here. Last week, I gave you verses out of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, where Paul also writes, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do." And let me say this too before I forget. Forgiving someone doesn't necessarily excuse them from what either they said or did against you. You understand what I mean by that? I mean, somebody can hurt you, and it doesn't excuse their actions. The forgiveness, though, is beneficial to you. It starts the healing process in your own life. And it's so important. Especially for those of us that are married, unforgiveness in a marriage will ruin a marriage faster maybe than anything else. You need to be careful of that. It starts with little things. I remember years ago, someone once told me, they said, "You know, my husband and I, we just never fight. We absolutely never fight." And as soon as that person told me that, that sent up a red flag in my mind, because I don't know of too many couples who never have a fight, because people are different. And then I read somewhere, wasn't that long after that, dealing with marriage, that's a real danger signal. Because what does that mean if two people never quarrel in a marriage or never fight? And here's a guy that's never been married, and he wants to answer the question. So let's see, Frank. Go ahead.
Lack of communication.
That's That's true. I wasn't thinking of that, but that's very much true. But something else I'm looking for. Sometimes that lack of communication with dealing with those issues. But two people can talk in a relationship and still not argue. What does that mean if that happens in a relationship? There's a lack of, yeah, exactly. There's a lack of honesty. So what does someone have to then do? What happens? What is that like? I mean, when you think about that. You're agreeing all the time. And what is that? That's exactly true. It's exactly right. And then what does that lead to? Sooner or later, you're that's what I'm looking. Exactly. And by the way, that person who many, many years ago said that to me, they are divorced today. So it's very common. It should be, it's part of a, now how you handle, for those married couples, how you handle the disagreements and the arguments. In fact, there's a verse here that look at verse number 27. The Bible says, in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for my own relationship with my wife. We have always tried, if we're angry with one another, not to go to bed angry, to work it out. I can't say that's always been the case. But we have tried to make that the case. And worked so far. I'm expecting it to work for the rest of our lives. Anyhow, forgiveness, it'll ruin a marriage. It's the little things often that don't get dealt with too that get left unresolved. And unforgiveness between a parent and their child ruin a relationship. And sometimes things happen and that you know you grow up and you've had resentment in your home towards a parent. And then it manifests itself even when you become an adult. And if it's not dealt with then, it creates problems between brothers and sisters in Christ. It becomes a problem. I'll just give you one other example before we get into all this. One of our members hasn't been in church for quite some time. And they have been members here for a long time. And unfortunately, back this winter, when they left a message and they needed for me to give them a call, and I got two messages, and then one that they would be out of town. And I don't want this in any way to sound like any excuse on my part, because I've apologized to them. But it was also about the same time our son had an epileptic seizure and was in the hospital. And, you know, sometimes things just happen, right? And so that call got missed. And I called them and contacted them. I thought they were out of town, and that's why they hadn't been here. And then I found out that wasn't the case. I called them. We talked on the phone. In fact, I've talked since then also with them. And I just apologized. And they said it happened before, some years ago. I didn't remember it. Maybe it did. But, you know, what else can you do but apologize, right? And said I was sorry and took full responsibility. Didn't try to make any excuses, just took full responsibility, asked if they would forgive me. And they said that they would. And in all honesty, deep down inside, I was hoping, well, if they did, I was hoping that they would kind of come back to church. But they haven't, and maybe they will one day. And they are going to church somewhere else, and I'm glad for that. And but I'm just going to keep praying for them, and I talked with them just recently, had a great conversation with them, and we left it on good terms. But, you know, sometimes in life things happen that they just kind of slip through the cracks, so to speak. And so we all have times where we make mistakes or we don't fulfill all of our responsibilities, And if that happens and we offend somebody, it's so important for us to not only ask their forgiveness, but then to receive it. So let me give you the first point on this handout here, and that's the word faith. You want to fill this out. Faith. Forgiveness is part of our faith. Amen? Okay, we already looked at verse 17 in our text where Paul says, listen, he says, I therefore testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Then look at verses 18 and 19. Having the understanding darkened, see, when we're not forgiving, our understanding becomes darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, for a person who's not a Christian to not forgive, well, it's almost as if, well, they almost have, maybe this isn't the right way to put it, they almost have an excuse because they don't know the Lord. They don't know the teachings of the Scriptures. They walk in darkness, not in light. You understand what I'm saying? But for you and I, we're not supposed to walk in darkness. We're supposed to walk. We walk in the light. We have not only the teachings here in the Scriptures, but many other places in the Scriptures that teach us the need to forgive. It's part of who we are. It's part of our faith. Chapter 3 in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You remember last week, there was just two points to the message. We've been empowered to live differently. Anybody know what the other point was? We've been empowered to well, I'll give you a hint. Look at verse 17, because the second point we've been empowered to blank is in that verse. Yeah, we've been empowered to love differently. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospels? He said, not only, in fact, I didn't preach on this last Sunday, but he said, "What? It's not a big deal to love the people that you already love, right? But who did he tell us to learn to love? Our enemies." That becomes a lot more difficult, doesn't it? And I gave you the example of a man who was in a Japanese prisoner of war camp and learned to love the Japanese people so much that he went back to Japan to start churches. And I was thinking about that this week, you know, in fact, I was at a funeral yesterday, and I was standing listening to the burial, the committal service. I was standing right next to a grave, and that grave, that man was a World War II veteran. And I thought, well, you know, those people, if, I don't know the man, I don't know who he was, but he's a World War II veteran. But and I thought about the atrocities, and I thought about somebody might say, yeah, but they had a right not to forgive those people for what they did to them. But then I thought, no, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul put Christians to death and imprisoned them. In fact, isn't it ironic that the Lord used the Apostle Paul to write about and teach us about forgiveness when he, who called himself the chiefest of sinners, he would have been like the Japanese guard. Follow what I'm saying? And God changed his life. So it's all part of our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, now if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. Or Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's all part of our faith. Forgiveness is part of our faith. We need to remember that. And that's because of the relationship we have with Christ. The O is for others, because that's what forgiveness is all about. It's about others. It's about others. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, look at verses 1 through 3. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See there the last part of verse 2? Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, look at verse 29 of chapter 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Oftentimes, the product of an unforgiving spirit is hurtful words. Words that are meant to take aim. Words that are meant to hit a bullseye. Words that are meant to, if we have an unforgiving spirit, that's part of our flesh. We feed upon, well, they hurt me, so I'm going to speak back to them and I'm going to hurt them. And yet we're instructed in Scripture that we need to be careful that of the things that come out of our mouths, things that we say. What we say is supposed to build people up in the faith, not supposed to tear people down. And forgiveness is about others. Verse 25 of our text. Therefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for here it is, we are members one of another. Verse 27, verse 28, at the let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So we have the idea here of we are members one of another. We have the idea of, well, we're supposed to be industrious and work hard, and that takes care of our needs, but it's also meant to help with the needs of others. Everything in the Christianity is about others. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, others. I think it was, who is it? The man who served the Salvation Army, Booth was his last name. What was his first name? William Booth. And he was dying, and they invited him to the conference, and he couldn't make it because he was so ill, and they asked if he would write something that could be read, and so he did. He sent them one word. You know what the one word was? Others. Because that's what it was. All of the Salvation Army, when it was founded, that's what it was about. It was about others, helping others. So faith, others, then the R is for righteousness. Righteousness. It says in verses 22 through 24, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. There, by the way, the word conversation, it doesn't just mean what we say. That word means our entire behavior, which is corrupt. That's, the old man was corrupt. We had deceitful lusts. That's who we were before we were Christians. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, that's when we got saved. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to be a righteous people. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. Anybody remember what that says? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Good, Jim. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. The righteousness of the Lord in our lives. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, wrote this years ago. I wrote it down, and I thought this was really good. Listen to what he said. It is not enough to shake off corrupt principles, but we must be controlled by gracious ones. It is not enough to cease to do evil, but we must learn to do well. So it is a gracious process. It is the grace of God. It is the Spirit of God working in and through us. Our faith has been established because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Part of that faith is how we deal with others. And how we deal with others is going to be reflected upon if we're living or endeavoring to live a righteous life. This righteousness here is not, it's not a reference to our position. It's more of a reference to the practical aspect of our Christian life. You understand what I mean by that? We're saved, now we're in Christ. But it's that practical part of our Christian life, our walk that we have with the Lord, as the Lord guides and teaches and the Holy Spirit leads us. Isaiah said this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." It's all part of who we are. It's all part of who we are. Living a righteous life. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 2. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What is meekness? Anybody know? Somebody tell me. We're supposed to be meek people. What is it? Yes. Okay, good. Strength under control. So where do we get that strength from? The Lord. The Lord. But we have to remember that. We have to remember those things. What is long suffering? I mean, the word itself is pretty much describes itself, right? Long suffering. What's another word for long suffering? Enduring. That's good. Enduring. How about this guy? This guy I was talking to you about. His name was Jake. Jake Deshear. He had to endure the Japanese soldiers for close to four years. He was in that POW camp. I don't think any of us have necessarily been under that kind of suffering. And forbearing. What about that? What is to forbear someone? Huh? To put up with them. All right. Not always easy. So we depend upon the grace of God to do that. I've been picking up this guy. He's been hitchhiking all over. And he lives up near us, but he's getting evicted. Lives down the road from us. And he's got a very bad reputation. Nobody will help him any longer. In fact, he was a car broke down in front of my house the other day, just passed me, and I thought he was part of the people that were in the car. I didn't realize it. So I went down to the local garage. It's about a half a mile from our house, and I said, "Hey," I said to the guy that owns it, "There's a guy broke down right in front of my house. He needs to get towed." And so he says, "Well, who is it?" And I said, "They just live right down here in this brown house." I said to the guy, "Oh, I'm not helping that guy," he says. "That guy's got all kinds of issues. I'm not going to help him." Well, I've been giving this guy a ride a lot, and he's got a bad reputation. I've been giving him some tracks, and now every time I see him, I say to him, "Don't forget now, who loves you?" And he knows. Gee, in fact, now when I give him a ride, he wants to get out of my car within about a mile after I pick him up. "I'm not going too far," he says. "Okay." But who loves you? Not that there's any great forbearance on my part, but people get annoyed with people, and then they don't want to reach out to people. And it's easy to reach out to the people who people like. It's not easy to reach out to the people who people don't like. Anyhow, grieve. I want to get this done because we're out of time. Grieve is the next word. Verse 30, when we don't forgive, we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's to bring sorrow, to mourn. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We shouldn't be grieving the Holy Spirit. And oh, how it must grieve the Master when we refuse to forgive. Because he himself is the embodiment of forgiveness and the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So we grieve the Spirit when we don't forgive people. That prevents us from walking in the Spirit if we're grieving the Spirit. The I is to intercede. To intercede. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 real quick. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the key. It's the Spirit of God who strengthens us, who gives us the ability, the meekness, and the long-suffering, and the forbearance, and the ability to forgive. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. That's where we get our strength from. And Ethan's been preaching a lot on that and reminding us of that. If you weren't here Wednesday night, he was dealing with that. And then lastly, two more. Victory is the V. Listen, God wants us to have victory over forgiveness. Victory, or not over forgiveness, victory to forgive. Victory to forgive. And we're to be, look at chapter 3 real quick, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Remember, God has given us the empowerment to love differently. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. God wants us to have the victory to forgive. He's given us the victory to forgive. It's found in Jesus Christ. And then lastly is the E for eternity. Because especially if that person is a Christian who you're having a hard time forgiving, you're going to spend forever with them, so you better learn to forgive them. But the point is really brought out because of what Christ has done for us in verse 32. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a lot of power in that verse. God hasn't forgiven you for who you are. Christ has forgiven you for what Jesus did for you on the cross. And whoever that person is that you have a struggle forgiving them, he died for them as well. And if they're Christians or you're forgiving them, may bring them to know Christ. Just as the message last week, there's Jesus on the cross where Jesus says, Father, audibly, so those could hear, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, people heard that. People were changed by that. And when we learn to forgive people, it may be used of the Lord to bring others. How could someone hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them? And all of those, that Roman centurion that said, truly, this man here was a righteous man. That's our Bible lesson for today. Let's pray. Father, bless now the morning worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a tendency to do that. Does this battery need to be changed?
Yes.
Come on in, girl.